glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Romans chapter 12, verse 5. In Christ, we who are many from one body, and each member belongs to all others. Romans 12:5. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, August 19th, 2025. After taking last Tuesday and Wednesday off, as we had special guests and it was a testimony Tuesday, Wednesday, we're returning to this series by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, What It Means to Follow Jesus. 3 to 4 weeks ago, we learned about We Are Disciples. That was part one. Then we looked at We Are Ambassadors, and that took three programs. Today we're looking at We Are Members of God's Family. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church.
The third word that I want us to look at this weekend is the word member. The word member. The Bible says that to be a follower of Christ means to be a member of his family and a member of his body. Following Jesus is far more than just believing. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. The Bible says we're not just believers, we're belongers. We are to belong in the family of God, which is called the church. And once we belong, then we become. So we believe, then we belong, and then we become all that God wants for us to be in the first place. Now, the Bible says this, there on your outline, Romans chapter 12, verse 5. In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now, circle the word belong. The Bible says that if you're a follower of Jesus, you don't just belong to God. You don't just belong to Jesus. You belong to me, and I belong to you, and we belong to each other, and you belong to every other believer. You're in the family now. You're in God's family. Now, it's interesting that in the Bible, two of the descriptions of the church are the church is a body and the church is a family. The church is the body of Christ and the church is the family of God. And in both of those cases, membership means something. In fact, the word English word member that we use for membership actually comes from the Bible. And the word membership has far more to do with life than simply like a, you know, wear a hat or secret signal or say the password or handshake. Membership means far more than just put your name on a roll. It means you're vitally connected. The Bible says your hand is a member of your body. If it's disconnected, it shrivels and dies. The Bible says your ears are members of your body. They're members. If you cut off your ears, they're worthless. They have no value at all if they're detached from the body. If you cut off your legs, your knees, your feet, they are members of your body. And if you cut it off, disconnected foot is worthless. It has no value. It shrivels and dies. You will shrivel and die spiritually if you're not connected to the body of Christ. And in the same way, you're a part of a family. And the Bible says that we have family responsibilities to each other. In fact, look at the next verse. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong in the family of believers. Now notice it says we're to do good to everybody. You can't mistreat anybody. You can't hate anybody. You can't show disrespect for anybody, not be a follower of Jesus. The Bible says as a follower of Jesus, I am commanded to love everyone, to respect everyone, and to be kind and loving to all people, regardless of who they are, what they believe, their lifestyle, what they do to me. I am to return love for them. So let us do good to all people. But he says, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Now, again, circle the word belong. In both cases, you belong. You belong as a member of the body of Christ, and you belong as a member of the family of God. Now, this is a very different understanding of a church than most people have. If you ask most people, what do you think of when you say church? They think of a building. A building. Or they think of it as an event. And church is something you see on a corner, or church is something you go to attend. The Bible says that's not a church at all. Church is neither an event nor a building. Church is a relationship. It is a family. It is the family of God. In fact, it's going to outlast your physical family. In fact, it's going to outlast everything on earth. The Bible says God created the entire world because he wanted, and the universe, because he wanted a family. And that family is the only thing that's last. One day there isn't going to be an IBM, a Microsoft, a Hewlett-Packard, a Dell computer, or anything else. There aren't going to be any businesses. One day there isn't going to be any nations. There won't be a Russia, America, China. But there will be a family of God because it's going to last forever. It's the only thing on earth that has permanent value, God's family. Now, the Bible tells us that you cannot be a follower of Christ unless you're a part of being tied into a church family. I mean, I hear people all the time say, well, I love Jesus. I just don't want to be a part of any church. Then you don't really love Jesus. Let me just be real honest. You don't love him because the body of Christ is his church. You can't say, I love Jesus, but I hate your body, or I love Jesus, but I hate your bride, or I love Jesus, but I hate your family. No, no, it's all together. It's like trying to say, I want to play football in the NFL, but I don't want to be a part of any particular team. Sorry, ain't going to happen. You can't do it. It's impossible. You cannot play in the NFL without being a part of a specific team. It's like saying, I want to be in the United States Army, but I want to be connected to any specific platoon. Sorry, it ain't going to happen. You can't do it. You have to be tied to a specific platoon in the Army. It's like saying, I want to play the tuba, but not be a part of an orchestra. Well, good luck. Not many people like to hear tuba solos. You sound a whole lot better when you're playing with a bunch of other people. A whole lot better. Just as a bee needs a hive, you need a church family. It's like an explorer needs a base camp. It's like a sailor needs a ship. You cannot be what God wants you to be. You cannot follow Jesus. You cannot follow Jesus without being connected to his family. And the Bible calls this membership, being a member. In fact, if you say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't belong, then there's a word for you. You're a spiritual orphan. You don't have a family. You are a spiritual orphan. Now, once a year, the Constitution of the United States requires that the President of the United States give a report to the nation called the State of the Union. Here at Saddleback Church, we've had a similar tradition for 30 years that every year in the month that the President gives a State of the Union message, I give what we call a State of the Church message, in which we take a different section of Saddleback Church, a different part of our strategy, and I explain it to everybody in detail. It's kind of an inside scoop. We only do it once a year. But I want to do that this morning where I explain to you why we believe in small groups and how they are designed to help you develop your spiritual maturity. So this is kind of a different message than we normally do on a typical weekend. If you're a guest here for the first time, I'm sorry. This is not your typical service, but you're going to get kind of an inside view, a family view of why we do what we do here at Saddleback Church, because everything we do in this church is based on the Bible. There's a reason, there's a strategy for it. We don't just make it up. We do it because the Bible tells us to do it. Now, before we look at this strategy of what it means to be a member and what small groups play in that role of membership, I want to explain to you or clear up a myth that's popular out there today, and I thought this was as good a time as any. There are about 10,000, quote, mega churches in the United States. A mega church is any church that has over 2,000 people coming on a weekly basis. There are now about 10,000 of those in America. There are probably five or six churches about the size of Saddleback that run over 20,000 in attendance on a typical weekend. The media typically treats churches like this as saying, well, these mega churches as if they're some new phenomena, like they're some modern result of marketing or something like that. It just shows a lack of knowledge of history, because Christianity has a 2,000-year history of extremely large churches. Dating all the way back to 2,000 years ago, the very first church that started in Jerusalem, the very first church, was five times the size of Saddleback Church. Most people don't know that. But the idea of a megachurch is not a new idea. Jerusalem was an enormous church. And before we look at the strategy, I want you to just see this, to notice the growth, because the Bible is very specific about it. Now, the book that tells us the history of the church is called the Book of Acts. It's the Acts of the Apostles, and it's actually the Acts of the early church. And it was written by Luke, the same guy who wrote the Gospel of Luke. Luke was a doctor, a physical doctor, a medical doctor. And in Acts, he gives us the exponential growth of the church, and he gives us very detailed progress reports. So let me just quickly take you on a little survey here through the book of Acts. When Jesus Christ died and then rose again, he told his followers, I want you to wait here in Jerusalem until I send my Spirit, and that will be the beginning of the church. And he goes back to heaven. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, that there were about 120 believers. 120 believers were meeting, waiting in the upper room for God to send his Spirit before Pentecost. Then in Acts chapter 2, we have the story of the first day of the church. It's called the Day of Pentecost. And it says, on that day, Peter preached, and 3,000 people were added to the church that day, the very first day of the church. 3,000 people, it says, were baptized and added to the church. So they were a mega church on the first day. I would say you're not really a New Testament church till you have at least 3,000 people. Because that's what they had on the very first day of their church. Then, down in verse 47 in Acts chapter 2, as we go through the book, it says, the Lord added daily, circle daily, those who were being saved. So the church is growing on a daily basis. Now, how many days in a year? 365, which means at least 365 people are being added to this church at a minimum every year, at least 365 people. So it's growing at least that much. Every single day, people are being added to the church. Now, by the time we get to Acts chapter 4, it says that in the church at Jerusalem, Jerusalem Community Church, more and more people believe. No, it says the number of men grew to 5,000. Now, notice that says men. Everywhere you've got 5,000 men, how many women and children have you got? At least 10 or 15,000. So by this time, by Acts chapter 4, the Jerusalem church is already at 20,000 people. That's about the size of Saddleback on a weekend. So by chapter 4, they've already got 20,000 people coming to the church at Jerusalem. Then you get to Acts chapter 5, more and more believed and a multitude was added. Now there's so many people, they're not even counting anymore. It says the multitude was added. It's just an enormous amount. Then you get to Acts chapter 5:28, and the critics come to Peter and John, who are leaders of the Jerusalem church, and they say, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Well, yeah, I guess so, because this church is growing and it's exploding and everybody is hearing the news. And this mega church is having a mega impact on a mega city. Then in Acts chapter 6, it says, the number of disciples rapidly multiplied. Notice we've moved from addition, the added daily, 3,000 added. Now we're going to multiplication, and they are rapidly multiplying. This is what's called exponential growth. The church is growing so fast, they can't even keep up with it. This is God's will for the church. God wants his church to grow, and God wants his church to grow fast. The number of disciples rapidly multiplied. That's New Testament growth. In verse 7, it says, the number of believers increased rapidly. Again, rapid exponential growth. Now, I could take you through the whole book of Acts, but let me take you over to Acts chapter 21. Acts 21 is approximately 25 years after the church has started in Jerusalem. How many people have they grown to in 25 years? The Jerusalem church, and 25 years later, Paul comes back to Jerusalem, and he is told, notice, tens of thousands have become believers. It literally is tens of tens of tens of thousands. The word there in Greek is the word murios. Murios literally means tens and tens of thousands. We get the word myriad from it. Do you know what myriad means? Too numerous to count. The church was so big, they couldn't even count them all. Bible scholars believe that by this year, the 25th year, the Jerusalem church had grown to over 100,000 members. You say, well, how big was the city of Jerusalem? Well, archaeologists tell us that Jerusalem was a city of about 200,000 people. So you have a city of 200,000 people and 100,000 members of one church. That's what you call church growth. That's what you call a mega church. Now, how did they do that? Is there anything in this story that we can copy that we can do? Yes, in fact, we did. And that's why Saddleback has grown over the last 30 years itself, because we didn't just have the message, we used their method. Now, let me explain this. We're not in competition with any other church. We want every single church that preaches the Bible to grow. In fact, the other churches here in Orange County, Southern California, the pastors, I know most of them, and they all happen to be good friends of mine. In fact, I'm in a small group with pastors of other large churches. We're not in any competition at all. We want every church to grow. We're all on the same team because we just want people to come to know the Lord. But some churches teach a Bible message. They teach the right message, but they don't use the biblical structure for a church. At Saddleback, we do. And that's what made Saddleback grow from just Kay and I the first year to now all of the people who come all the time, because we use the same biblical structure, and I'm going to teach it to you this morning. Now, if the church at Jerusalem grew to 100,000 people in about 25 years, where in the world did they put all those people? I mean, you think we got a parking problem. Think about 100,000 people trying to get together for one church service every week and then going out. Well, the Bible tells us the strategy that they used. And it's very important for you to know the strategy of the Jerusalem church, because it's the exact same one we've used here at Saddleback for 30 years. It's there on your outline. The Bible tells us in one simple sentence the church strategy at Jerusalem. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. They met day after day in the temple courts and from house to house. Now I want you to circle temple courts and circle house to house, because these are the two different structures of a biblical church: temple courts and house to house. What are we talking about here? Well, you might write this down. It's large group worship and it's small group fellowship. Large group worship and small group fellowship. First, it says they met in the temple courts. Now, I want you to, this is maybe seem picky, but I need to explain it to you. Circle the S on courts. Notice it's plural. They didn't meet at the temple court. They met at the temple courts. What does that mean? One church meeting in many locations. Now notice it doesn't say that the Jerusalem church met in the temple. They didn't. They did not meet in the temple. It said they met in the temple courts, which are around the temple. Why didn't they meet in the temple? Two reasons. Number one, it wouldn't hold everybody. The temple certainly wouldn't hold 100,000 people. But number two, they were forbidden to go into the temple. Jewish law kept people out of the temple. In other words, people couldn't just go into the temple. Only the priest could go into the inner court, and nobody could go into the Holy of Holies except the priest once a year on the Day of Atonement. So the temple wasn't like we built today auditoriums where everybody gets together and sings Kumbaya. Nobody went in the temple. They went up to the temple and the priest went in the temple. So they didn't meet in the temple because they weren't allowed to it, and it wouldn't have held them anyway if they could. But they met in the temple courts, and all around this temple were these courtyards outside. Now, I've been to Jerusalem, and if you've ever seen Solomon's temple and the courts and what the remains of it, it's very obvious that the temple courts could have held maybe 50,000 people easily. And so if they had two services on a weekend, they could easily have 100,000 people at service, because in those days you didn't sit to worship, you stood through the worship. And so they could have 50,000 people in temple courts. But notice they didn't try to all meet in the same court. Here's a giant church meeting in many different locations. Now, why is that important? Because that's exactly what we do at Saddleback Church. We call our temple courts campuses, and we call them venues, because a lot of people don't understand what temple courts are. But the truth is, every weekend, we, Saddleback, as a church family, worships in 12 different locations. Now, where did we get that idea? Right here, from the Bible. They met in many places. It was a gigantic church worshiping in different places. In fact, one weekend here at Saddleback, we have a total of 25 different services every weekend. Every weekend. Because not only do we have all these 12 different locations, we have a total of 27 different services. And we have them in Spanish, El Encuentro. And we have the praise service with a gospel choir. And we have, hi guys, and we have Overdrive for, the hard rockers. Okay. we have traditions for people who like to sing hymns. And why? Because we're one church in many locations. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, if we have 25 services, in our church family, how many musicians and singers does that take? A lot. And that's why I need you to come Monday night at 6:30 to the Plaza Room and try out to be a singer. Because we're always in need of people to help lead worship, because this church has many, many worship services. So we do the same thing the Church of Jerusalem did. We use temple courts. But notice the second part. It says they also met during the week from house to house. Now, we use that same house-to-house strategy. That's called our small groups. In fact, nobody in America does it better than Saddleback. We have over 4,000 small groups in this church family. Nobody has that many small groups. And they're in every city of Southern California, going from Santa Monica to Carlsbad. And we meet in homes. We actually have every week about 30,000 people meeting for Bible study in small groups in homes. Where did we get that idea? The Bible, the book of Acts, the Jerusalem church. And the small groups, you've heard me say this many times, are the heartbeat of Saddleback Church. You're not going to really feel a part of Saddleback until you get in a small group where you get connected on a relational basis. You see, right now, you could come to Saddleback Church for a year on Sunday morning and just hide in the crowd and nobody will even know you came. That's a tragedy. You get known when you get into a small group where people can help you and serve you. Now, why do we believe in small groups? Well, I'm going to give you four reasons.
And you say, no, Mark, no. But we're out of time and SRN News won't wait. But a sneak preview as we'll continue this message by Rick Warren, what it means to follow Jesus. We are members of God's family. This is part three in this four-part series, and tomorrow we'll continue right where we left off. But the importance of small groups is, one, they're relational, two, they're flexible, three, they're expandable, and four, they're economical, they're inexpensive. So that'll be covered tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Now, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. In Christ, we who are many from one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.